Well, hello everybody and welcome to our Q&A call, coaching call for June 28th, 2018. Hard to believe this weekend marks the halfway spot of the year. That is absolutely nuts. Hey, it's great to be here with you guys. We have some new folks joining us. We had a few join us last week and then the rest are joining us this week. So welcome if this is your first time here. We got a great group here. Everyone is working hard toward this goal of landing their first paying client, and I am here to help and support you through this process, guys. So please take advantage of me. I am available to walk you through any challenges, any feedback you might have. If you're just struggling with maybe a decision on your positioning or pricing or anything. Everyone's kind of in a different place right now because this program is self-paced. So wherever you are, doesn't matter. I'm here for you today. Just a reminder of how we can have a conversation. You can dial *2 on your telephone keypad, or if you've joined us on the webcast, so the web call today, where you basically on the call page and are listening through your computer speakers, then there's a raise hand icon there as well. So you can do that at any time. My system keeps a queue, and I will unmute people as in the order in which they ask the question. We also had some folks pre-submit questions on the call page, so I'll go back and forth between live conversations and answering those questions. As usual, I'd like to go around the virtual room, though, and start by would love to get your wins from the last time we talked. In a win, just to be clear, doesn't have to be anything monumental. Just anything that you feel really good about, anything that you feel is gave you some motivation, made you feel like you're making progress, an insight, a breakthrough, an aha moment, a decision you've made, anything along those lines. And the way to share it would be in the chat box, the chat field. So if you're on the call page today, the left field is where you can submit a question for me to answer here in the call. The right one is the chat box. So just type in your win of the week, just win colon, and then let me know anything you feel good about. Let's start on a positive note here. Win of the week. I'll just go through some of these as I get them. Let's see, who do we have here today? Hey, Monique is on. And Andrea, welcome. Hey, Dale, welcome. It's great to have you here, as well as Corey. John, some good stuff there in the forum there, John. So thanks for posting some of that. Erica, Cindy, welcome, Cindy. Linda, it's great to see you again, Linda. Mark, welcome, Mark. So wins of the week. All right, see, Cindy said win of the week is starting the program. Awesome, yes. The journey of 1,000 miles, right? Starts with that big first step. Erica says win for her is that I submitted an article idea to a magazine and the editor said she'd consider it. Hey, fantastic. Isn't that great? I mean, many times it's just about taking a first step and getting some kind of response. Just seeing someone react to something you send them, even if there's nothing final there, can be very motivating. Absolutely. Dale says I finished with lesson one and did my positioning statement and differentiators. Fantastic. Dale, you're moving right along, man. Good job. Colleen got found by organic search again. Not sure how to respond to requests for an example. I'm assuming you're asking about a writing sample, right? So happy to talk with you about that, Colleen, if you want to have a conversation today. Corey says, when finished my positioning and have rewritten all the text for all my web pages. Man, that's awesome. Way to go. Matthew says, joining the program and feeling a sense of clarity about which direction I'm going. Super. Let's see. Nanette, nearly finished reworking website. Yes, it's a big first step, right? It's the positioning in the website. It's, man, it's hard work. Guys, there's no way around it. But, everything really flows from that. That's the foundation. So it's so important to take your time and do your best with that. Jenny says there have been tons of interruptions, but doing the morning routine, so journaling, gratitude statements, meditation, reading, has helped me focus whenever I've finally gotten started each day. Oh, that's great to hear, Jenny. Glad to hear that that's working well for you. It's a critical part of my day. I just feel if I skip that for whatever reason, my day is different. Maybe I have somewhere to be really, really early in the morning and I just didn't wake up early enough to do it. I notice it definitely impacts my day. Yeah, great, Colleen. So we can absolutely talk about that situation where they want a sample. All right, guys, so good stuff. Let's go ahead and go to questions. Again, star 2. If you're on the phone, that will raise your hand. Or if you're on the web call, there should be a raise hand icon there, where you can also, of course, type it in if you want to submit it there. But the best way really is just to have a conversation, because usually I have some follow-up questions, and it's just easier that way. All right, so we got a couple of raised hands. I think this is Colleen. Hey, Colleen, is that you?
I think so, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. How's it going?
I get pretty discouraged. And then, like today, I just get an email out of the blue, and it's like, oh. Okay, so this woman works with a company called Suez. Suez is one of these... It's huge. It's gobbling things up. So this part of Suez does utilities management, like water utilities. So she's asking me about, they want somebody to write their case studies.
Okay.
But they have done the research interviews and can provide photos and a customer quote, but they need somebody to actually write the case studies. And they sent me an actual example of a case study and some background information like they would give me in order to write a case study. But then she asked me to send her a copy, you know, examples of case studies that I've written. Could you send us a sample case study that you've written? And I haven't written one, so...
Yeah, okay. What else has happened? It's just been, this has been the only communication, so she just contacted you out of the blue with this, or have you responded? Okay.
I've done nothing. I just got it this morning.
Okay. Good deal. All right, so first, just something to keep. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, okay, because you have some, sounds like you have some other info.
Oh, no, I just, you know, I've been sending out lots of warm emails, and I sent a warm email to somebody at Suez, but like I say, this is some small part, you know, a company that Suez merged with that now uses Suez as well as their original name, so. But no, this was she just found me on the internet, yeah, found my website.
Okay, and by the way, which is, this is why it's great to be focused, you know, with your positioning, because that helps increase the possibility, the probability that somebody will contact you out of the blue. You know, like I say in the program, don't count on inbound leads. You don't want to, your marketing strategy should not depend on that. In fact, it can't. But when they do come in, it's nice, you know. All right, so before we get to kind of the meat of that, just to something that everyone needs to understand, okay? And I've said this before, but I will continue to remind everybody here about this. The attitude you need to take is when you're starting out, or really at any point in your journey, if a prospect needs to see X, they want to see, you know, a particular sample, they want this kind of experience, they need you to have X, Y, or Z, whatever it might be, And that is, they feel that that is key, that that's critical, and you don't have it, then the answer is ultimately, if they decide against hiring you, they're just not the right prospect for you today, okay? So it's very important that you understand that because, and listen, I have to remind myself of that even every day, you know, in what I do today. We always want to close every opportunity. But not every opportunity is closable. And if somebody needs to see these things, you know, I think a lot of the anxiety comes from this feeling that we have to present ourselves so that anybody would say yes. But we just don't have everything that everybody's going to want. Okay, so that's the first thing. So once you internalize that philosophy, then things become a little bit easier. Because then you can just be open and honest and just sincere and try to start a conversation. Okay, so in this case, the way I would approach it is you never want to say, well, I don't have that, I've never written one, sorry. Right? You don't want to leave it at that, but you also don't want to lie, of course. So the way around, like the best thing you could do to try to salvage it is something to the effect of, great, you want this, I don't have that, however, here's what I have done, and here's how it compares to that. Okay, so in other words, you want A, I haven't done B. I mean, I haven't done A, but I've done B. And here are the similarities between B and A. Therefore, because I can do B, I can do A. I'm confident. So that's one thing. Second of all, you can bolster that even more by saying, and let me tell you why I think I'd be great for this project. I have this experience. I have this background. I have this knowledge, track record, whatever. In that particular market, in that particular industry. So you remind them again. Because here's what you want to do. You want to remind them that, you know, there's more to it than just having a sample, right? It's the, you know, what about all this other stuff that you can't teach someone overnight? You know, the fact that you've been in the water and wastewater industry for so many years, you have this experience, you know, you got a PhD, blah, 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 blah. So everything that you might have that would be relevant here, you need to highlight that, and because you want to remind them, right, that it's really a lot about that, not just do I have a case study. Because let's take another extreme situation. Let's say that Bill, some other writer, has written 100 case studies, but he has very little of any experience in this particular market. So
yeah.
would he be a better choice? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So that's where you want to go with it. Okay, so again, if you have something that you can say, so I'll give you an example with case studies. Have you written, you know, any kind of article that had a story element to it? You know, something along those lines. In fact, I'll just ask you, what do you have that you'd be able to kind of connect those dots for them?
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't had a whole lot of clients. I did one article. I don't know, it wasn't so much of a story. I do have a sample on my website that's like a report, you know, when I was in government, a report I wrote for a consultative committee that sort of explains a situation. I don't know, but if she's been on my website, has she looked at my samples? I don't know. That's the problem. Yeah, no, I don't have...
I want you to think in terms of solutions, not in terms of problems, okay?
Yeah.
So I want you to think,
okay.
All right, I mean, it's easy to think of problems. Anyone can do that.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old can do that. You need to rise to the occasion, and this is what's hard about this business. I mean, anything where you're out there looking for, you got to find the work, it's going to force you to get creative here. What do you have, and how can I connect the dots?
Yeah.
You know, and just do your best. You know, is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. I posted today in the forum the samples that I started out with. They're laughable, but it's what I had. And, you know, I had nothing to lose. I just figured, well, you know, hopefully somebody will hire me anyway. And they did. It took a while. But so just anything from your past that you have written, can you make a case for, I've written B, you want A, here's why, if I've written B, I can help you with A. And let's also not forget what I bring to the table, you know, that would make me a great candidate here. I would say there's a third thing you could do. I would include all these in your argument. And let's start with one project. You know, I understand, you know, you're never worked with me, you don't know much about me, but here's what I do have. I've already talked about these first two things. Why don't we try one? You know, you already got the research. Give me a shot. In other words, what you're trying to do is you're trying to mitigate the risk.
Mm.
You're trying to
just,
right, position yourself as, look, I'm not saying give me five of these. Give me one. I will prove to you that I'm the right choice, the best choice.
Okay. So that was another question. Like, I've read quite a few, books and blogs and et cetera about writing case studies. And generally, the writer, well, my understanding, of course, I haven't done one, is the writer does the interview. And so that's sort of the cost. You know, they quote, and you quote, 1,200 to 1,800, let's say, for a case study. But if they've done, if all they want you to do is write it, yeah, so what sort of quote what sort of fee do you ask for in that case?
One of the questions I've had prospects ask, present something like this to me. It's like, oh, we've already done the work. We just need you to write it. First of all, right now, it doesn't really matter. You're just trying to get some clients, right? But ideally, in the future, that is not necessarily the best scenario.
No, that's what I read.
It's do you
it's
have
to get the question?
Did she say they have the audio interview?
Yeah.
Do they have an audio interview?
I don't think so. No. Well, she didn't send me anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's something you can figure out later. But
She did say that for
the part of the. Well, part of the value of writing a great case study for someone is that you, as the writer, it's not just a writing skill. There's interviewing skills that are involved, and it's uncovering some things that maybe the customer, so your client's customer, would have maybe not revealed because they didn't think about it, right? So you're being a good journalist there, and so you don't know. You're at the mercy of whoever did the interview. You probably don't even have access to the interview. They probably didn't even record it. So you're working with – it's like who was it? I think football coach Bill Parcells says, if you want me to cook, I have to go buy the ingredients. You know, don't give me all this produce and all these ingredients and tell me you want this amazing meal, and then you give me crap, you know. So it's the same thing here. Again, I'm just explaining long term that's kind of the approach you want to take. But right now you're at the mercy of their raw materials.
But
I wouldn't worry about that right now. I would say in terms of pricing, because I think that's your question there, is what are you thinking? It's because there's two things there. It's like, what do you feel comfortable with right now? And what do you think you'd like to charge for that?
Well, you'd assume like $500, but people are really acting like they don't want to pay a lot for writers. I have another question for you after this one. So possibly you say something like, for first-time project, you know, let's start with one project. I could do it for you for, you know, $350 or something. But geez, you end up paying yourself like $10 an hour when you do stuff like that. So.
Well, I would say let's take it one step at a time, though. Let's, you know, you can't do everything over email, number one. Have you been through Section 6 and 7
in the program? Yeah, been through the whole thing,
Okay, so you want to take it one step at a time. Let's just address her question, her concern. Let's see where that goes, and then let's try to take it to a phone conversation where you can have that discovery.
Yeah, and not talk about price until we talk on the phone.
Yeah, and I know you're just thinking ahead.
That's what
but,
I try to do,
I think $350 is too low. Just because you have the raw materials doesn't mean that it should be that much cheaper. It's hard
it
to say.
Harder,
you can't
actually
come up with a number. The number doesn't come out of a vacuum. You know, you need to have that conversation, that back and forth. You need to better understand where they're coming from. So, but just guessing here, I think it should be somewhere between, five and 507 and $750, somewhere in there. I mean,
okay.
That's
yeah.
You know.
No, I realize I'm going in at the low end of the low end of the scale. So
yeah,
that's
it's
fine.
Definitely low.
I need to know the ballpark. Okay, so I'll write her an email about. I'll have a good think about what I have done that's similar to a case study. And then I'll write up my differentiator bit about what I bring to the table and then ask her if we could start with one project. Maybe we could set up a phone call. Is that what you're recommending? That 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
1, 2, 3. Exactly. Here's I haven't done A. I've done B. Here's why, you know, I could do A. I bring to the table. And then let's lower the risk, the perceived risk.
Cool.
Let's try one.
Okay,
project.
So I'll work on that. That's good. Thanks for that advice. Now I have another question. If you have time, is that okay?
Yeah. It's but let's go for it. I got a couple few other people with their hands raised, but let me know what do you have.
Okay, this is a woman. We talked about this before, too. She found me organically, and I did what I consider a spec blog, you know, like a spec assignment. I said I'd write a blog. What I sold her on was this idea of 4 blogs that you put out, you know, once a week, and then you can take those and make them into an article. They like to publish in, like, AWWA journals and stuff like that, so...
Mm-hmm.
That was what I sold her on. So I said, okay, well, I'll do the first blog for $150. And I sent it to them on Monday, and she got back to me yesterday. And this is the first comment from Seth that I found really I don't know what to say. Okay, one, if we were paying is in capital letters, for articles to put on our website, they should benefit Chlortainer, that's company name, first and foremost, and provide beneficial information to readers secondarily. And I'm trying to sell myself as a content marketer, and that is not, that's like the exact opposite of content marketing, you know, that, so, you know, they really want me to write more sales copy, and then further on she says, keeping it under 1,500 words, she wants me to shorten it. When I do a word count, it's only 1,200 words, so it's like, she says keeping it under 1,500 words.
I'm not sure I understand. Have you already written the first post for them?
Yeah. I told them I'd write it, and then they could pay me, and then we'd go on and you know, work further on further blogs. And this is the response. It's quite a long response. And I'm just not sure. You know, you talk about qualifying your prospects. And when I talked to her on the phone, she seemed to, you know, the marketing woman, she seemed to understand. She was like, yeah, let's do that. But then I feel like they're not really, we're not on the same page.
What's your question? What are you struggling with there? I'm still not quite.
I don't know how to respond to this. You know that.
Does she not get that? So you're saying, she's saying that I don't understand. I don't see the value of paying someone to write this for us.
Somebody on the review team. I'm not saying her specifically. This is from the review team at the company. So.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah,
well, here's the bottom line.
You
can't. Your job is not to convince someone of the value of marketing content. You know, this business, if they don't get it, you got to move on, number one.
Yeah,
okay. Because otherwise we're going to go down a rabbit hole that, believe me, no one wins. So that's the first thing. And if that's where they are, then I would cut my losses as quickly as possible. Otherwise, you're going to be – this is going to be a huge time suck for you with no win at the end.
Okay.
You know, and then of course, then you look at the positive. So what, you know, what you got something out of it, you got some practice, and so there's some good stuff here. But, you know, I don't see how you'll be able to get something if that's their attitude. I don't see how you'd be able to turn that around.
Mm. Yeah, here's another comment from the review committee. If the article is for our website blog, sell the hell out of the product and don't hold back. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, move on.
So they want more, yeah.
This is an easy one. Yeah, this is an easy one. Move on.
Okay, yeah.
And this is, yeah. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being hasty reacting emotionally, because so I'm glad to hear that, because that's how I felt. Was like, she talked about maybe wanting some white papers down the road, and I think I'll just write back and say, well, maybe I'm not the right person for your blog, but let me know if you want to do a white paper or something, you know, that I don't know.
Well, it depends, because if they're going to take that attitude, then their white paper is going to be a miserable failure.
Yeah, okay,
on their white paper, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just not sure if that same group is going to be responsible for reviewing that.
It's a very small company, okay. No.
You think that's a nightmare, the white paper will be a real nightmare.
Okay.
You know? Now, listen, I'm all for pro bono work. You know, this is one of the decisions you have to make that we talk about in session 4 or 5. But, you know, I'm talking about doing this kind of work for someone who gets it, someone who would see the benefit.
Exactly.
And if you're doing it for free and then they're slamming it and they want to take an approach that's the complete opposite of what's going to work, that's just a difficult situation, you know?
Mm. Exactly.
So
okay, well, thanks very much for your time.
It's, guys, you know, it's about, think about your time. There's an opportunity cost there, right? It's what could you use that time for instead of, you know, working with someone like this? You could probably use it to find some other clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, so keep
Excellent.
Me posted on that case study opportunity. Let me know how they react.
Because other people, you know, I send stuff often. Well, like the one guy, just as a quick catch up, I had a guy who responded to a warm email, and we had a conversation. He was the one we talked about options. Maybe you remember. And I had two options. You said, well, three is even better, so I did three options. You know, one blog for 150, four blogs for 500, something anyway, you know, it's an introductory special. And he told me to get back to him in 3 weeks. So I get back to him in 3 weeks with a sort of 9-word email. And luckily he got back to me. A lot of people just ignore you. But he got back to me and says, oh, we haven't identified a need at this time. So it was like,
well,
why did we have the conversation?
I have other people who are waiting. If you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk through that with you. But that's a third question. I just want definitely.
Yeah, no. I just wanted you to know. No, I just thought it was funny. Yeah, no. I just thought it was amusing. So, it's all good. Thanks very much for your time, Ed.
Absolutely. You guys, I just want to make sure I can get to everyone. You know me, if you've been on these calls for a while, I spend a good amount of time with everybody here, because I want to make sure you get what you need. But, I'll try to keep us moving along as well so that I can get to everybody's questions. Let's see, we got Cindy here on the line. Hey, Cindy.
Hi there.
Hello. What's going on, Cindy?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. I at first I couldn't hear you. Well, thanks so very much, Ed, for taking my call, and I'm so excited to be here in the program.
It's great to have you.
Great. And my question is in reference to session one, positioning myself. I have a very vast background in areas of automotive financial services, banking, and medical assistant. And I would like to choose the target market of healthcare. Is that too broad, or do I need to drill down in certain areas of healthcare?
So you automotive, financial services, banking, and what was the third one?
medical assistant, and that is probably my shortest amount of, quote, experience.
Okay. And what was your let's talk about that one, because that's the obviously the one that's within healthcare. The others are not. What did you do there, and when was that?
That was just here within the last year, and it was working at breast cancer center, chemo center. More paperwork, kind of signing people in, signing them out, updating things in the database, taking them. It's almost like you prep the patient for the doctor.
Okay.
More administrative.
Okay. Tell me about, do you have, because one of the things, there's three filters that we talk through, right, in that session one. The first one is your network. So when you look at each of these markets, specifically healthcare, based on your experience there as a medical assistant, were you able to develop a network other professionals?
No, I answered all of those questions, and I came up with the network of contacts, nothing, how you feel about the people and the topic. I think it's more of a passion, to talk about healthcare and those types of issues. How do you feel about the people? Great. I mean, from my experience that I've had, how important is your service? Surely it would be, I think the niche of healthcare in and of itself would be very important. Yet I come to that roadblock again of the background experience, and then I just put the desire in the category of passion. And then talent, I wouldn't really say, again, I'm not strong there. I'm not strong in the experience component, and nor am I strong in the background component.
Yeah. So it would be a challenging one. I mean, it's not that you couldn't do it. It would just you would be a few steps behind. What happened with financial services and banking? Is that one you also explored?
I enjoyed it, yet I didn't really have. I wasn't all in. I mean, even in the automotive industry, I worked for BMW Financial Services, and I loved every aspect of it. And I guess maybe in my mind, I wonder, well, is there a niche is there a market for what I would do for the automotive industry? Because not only did I work at the BMW Financial Services, but I also worked at a car dealership, and I was there for 3 years, and I love that as well. But I just keep thinking, well, now that I'm shifting into, writing, I just keep thinking, well, no, there's not a market for that. I just keep thinking of maybe the major players like healthcare, or even I wrote financial services also.
Well, financial services is a huge industry, so you wouldn't, and I wouldn't recommend you go too narrow, for instance, automotive financial services. That is, I think, too narrow, and I'm not sure there would be that much writing being done there, at least enough to hire a writer. So if you were to go to financial services, that is, we talked about, I talk about three different levels of targeting, level one, level two, level three. Level one is really, really broad. That's saying, hey, I write, for business-to-business companies. Level two is I write for financial services companies. And level three would be I write for automotive financial services companies, right? It's very, very niched.
Okay.
In most cases, you don't want to go into level three right out of the gate. The sweet spot is level two. So whether it's healthcare or financial services, using these two examples, you want to keep it there. You don't want to go any narrower for now because of what you just shared. And so the exceptions would be if you had some very detailed experience and you have some insider knowledge that where it makes sense to get down to level three right out of the gate. So my thinking is this, Cindy. I think with healthcare, you can certainly go there, but you don't have much you can talk about in terms of your industry experience and background and knowledge, and then you don't really have much of a network there either. So, again, it would be an uphill battle. And this is all about getting momentum as quickly as possible. So I would be taking a closer look at financial services and starting there. And then, you know, you can always shift down the road. You know, this is one of the things you guys, I want everyone to understand, what you pick now is not necessarily what you're going to stick with for the rest of your freelance career. This will evolve. You will pivot over the years. I guarantee it. It's much easier to get a footing with financial services and then eventually transition to healthcare than it is to, in your situation, go straight to healthcare.
Who would you write for in financial services? I don't know that one.
Oh my gosh! So many. I mean, financial services is a huge, huge world. I mean, there's B2C and B2B there.
Okay.
The way I like to do this is with Google and a blank sheet of paper, a big one, and I start mind mapping. Are you familiar with mind mapping?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what you want to do is you want to just go into – I mean, if you wanted to start somewhere, I would do a search such as sectors of financial services industry. And that will, between Wikipedia and a few other articles, will give you a lay of the land.
Cool.
Okay. And then start your mind map there. So I'll put in the middle, the hub of your mind map, financial services possibilities or sectors. And then do a search for, okay, what are those, the sectors? And then write everything down. There's commercial banking, investment banking, foreign exchange services, investment services, insurance, venture capital, private equity, debt resolution. You'll find all kinds of categories. And once you have those categories or those sectors, then it becomes a lot easier when you get to the prospecting stage.
Okay.
Because now you'll have concrete sectors that you can research and find who some of the companies are that you can contact.
Okay. Well, the light bulb just went off because now I heard what you just said here. I'm like, oh, okay, now I understand financial services. But I will surely do the mind mapping, and I'll go to Google as well for the search.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's really more for a comfort thing for you right now because, again, you're not going to get that detailed right now. But at least I'll give you the comfort level of, okay, so I see that there's all kinds of possibilities. So when I get to that point, then I know that there's a lot there, and I know how to navigate the waters.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Good stuff. Way to work through that material, Cindy. All right, I see Dale has his hand raised. Let me go, Dale. I had a couple questions that were pre-submitted. Let me take those, and then I'll come back to you. All right, so Mark had submitted yesterday a question, which, by the way, guys, you can always pre-submit questions. Each call in the program has its own page. So let's just say you're not going to be here, for the next call, but you want me to address an issue or challenge or answer a question, go to the page for the upcoming call, and you'll see a field where you can pre-submit a question for me. Of course, you can always do it during the call live, but it's a great feature, so you can always send something, and I can address it during the call. Mark submitted something yesterday. He says, I already have a firm idea for my target market and a name for my copywriting business. Is there an advantage when starting out in referring to yourself by your company name, or is it easier to build trust by keeping your own name? It's a great question. It's the, you know, should I go with, Red Chair Copywriting, or should I go with Edgambia Copywriting? Should I brand as myself or as a company name? It's a very subjective thing, but here is my take on that. Companies who want to work with a freelancer want to work with an individual. They don't need to feel like they're working with this big agency, okay? But what I find with freelancers in general, writers, designers, and everybody, is they feel that the opposite is true. They feel that they have to position themselves as a real, quote-unquote, business, as a bigger business, as an agency, to look more serious. And again, if you understand where most clients are coming from, that's not what they're looking for. If they wanted to hire an agency, they'd go find an agency. But when they want a writer, when they want to work with an individual, they want an individual, okay? So that's the first thing. And if you understand that, then that makes the decision a little bit easier. Nothing wrong with positioning yourself as Mark Silva, you know, writing services or communications, okay? And that's why that's my preference. Now, if you are already set on using a company name, I think that's fine as long as you're not doing it because you think it's going to give you an advantage. That's the first thing. If you decide to go with a company name, again, it's not going to give you an advantage, but if you decide to go that route, I strongly, strongly urge you that you write your copy in first person. Okay, I find that half of the people who go with a company name write their about page, their home page, all in third person. You know, again, Red Chair Copywriting offers this, that, and the other. That's not going to work. That's not personal. You're not going to forge that connection with the prospect. You want to humanize yourself. You want to sell yourself as you, what your experience, and you want to talk directly to one person, person to person in your communications, in other words. So that would be the biggest thing, really. It's that even if you go that route, make sure you write it in first person singular. Some people will do first person, but they'll do we, plural. You don't want to do that. All right, let's see. Nanette also submitted a question yesterday. She said, in the first session, we had the aha moment when you said, I would be a good candidate for executive ghostwriting. I teach in the executive MBA program and worked with hundreds of international students, current and future executives, to get them to convert business concepts to reality. I have a PhD. I've written scholarly articles. I also have an undergraduate journalism degree and 6 years' experience in the advertising industry. I'm a private pilot with a decent background in the transportation industry. I've worked through the first three modules, but I still stumble with my ultimate title. Ghostwriter? Seems a bit odd. I'm not sure if you're on today, Nanette, but would want to know more about what feels odd about ghostwriter. So if you don't like the term, or if you just, you know, you feel that it doesn't convey what you do, that will help me give you direction and answer that question. Not sure how to address it, but if the concern is, oh, I don't know if I like that word or that the word feels a little bit odd. It's a very common term out there, and if you feel that maybe your audience may not get it, I would actually disagree with that. I think, even if you define it on your homepage, not blatantly, you don't have to say, you know, a ghostwriter is this, that, and the other, but just within the context, you can define what that is. That's enough. It's certainly, let me put it to you this way. Your ideal prospect is going to understand it, and that's really the important thing. You're not trying to define it for someone who would not be your ideal prospect. All right, so there are a few others, but I'll come back to them. I want to go back and forth. Dale has his hand raised. And Dale, you are on. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Good.
What's cooking?
Well, I'll try to keep this as simple as possible. I went through the session one, the positioning, getting the core differentiators, and I went through session two, starting with the web. And what I'm trying to do is figure out how I'm taking these differentiators and the starter value statements that we did, and then going into step two that you have for the doing the web, doing the challenge thing. So are you taking your value statement that has your differentiators and doing meshing that into the challenge part of this that you're coming up with on your website for the homepage?
Do you understand? You could. Yeah, you could. You can position the challenge as the challenge that makes your differentiator the solution, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You could do that.
Right. Okay. Because when I have four differentiators, I picked my area, which is going to be either medical devices or somewhere in the medical area, since I was a nurse. But I also did marketing and sales. I used to work for Nordic Track years ago. And then I don't know if I can consider this a differentiator, but critical thinking and assessment, which is you found in nursing, which I think is lacking in a lot of things today. And then my management people skills. But I'm trying to see how I can incorporate the critical thinking and assessment aspect as a differentiator that would stand out differently than anybody else.
Well, keep in mind that you're not trying with your differentiators. They don't need to be factors that would distinguish you from everybody else. They just need to be different enough from the pack of other writers. Okay, so for instance, if it's you against, and it's typically not, this is not the situation, this is a hypothetical thing, but I think it will illustrate it. If it's between you with your experience as a nurse and everything you did as a nurse, which is awesome, you got some great experience there, and someone with a journalism background who has done some healthcare writing, but you know they haven't been there, done that, like you have. The critical thinking piece, you can really shine a spotlight on that, and because then you got, it's a 1-2 punch. It's the I've been there. I've been on the hospital floor. I've done this, that, and the other. I understand. I got that perspective, and that with that came the critical thinking skills that I had to develop because you're in these situations where, you know, this is important, and so is that. But then you're constrained with this. As opposed to this other person who's, I've done some healthcare writing.
Okay.
And yeah, journalists have to have critical thinking, but I guarantee you they're not going to really highlight that. They're really going to highlight their other things.
Right. And I would think that with respects to doing anything in medical devices, you'd have to have an understanding of how to interpret, analyze, evaluate, or infer, explain any of these type of aspects that go on within the context of the surgery and using the device itself. How is that going to play out? How is it going to, you know, how you think through the process? And I'm just wondering if that could be something as well used in the bio section, you know, your story.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm thinking of doing a bio aspect too. So.
Yeah, and you probably should because of your background. Now, I want to go back to something I want to make sure you understand with the challenge copy and your differentiators. You just named three or four differentiators. That's great because you have those buckets, and that's what your Why Me page will be. It's like number one, number two, number three, number four, each with a subheadline and an explanation of each, right? Your homepage, however, you don't want to try to put all those four in there. It's too much. So on your homepage, what you're really doing is you're taking the core essence of all those four, or maybe the top one, and you're using that as your core Why Me on your homepage.
Okay, that basically says it all. That's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to, because it was all coming together, and I know you had the Why Me, but I was just trying to figure out, since you're using about 150 to 200 words, to really bring out the essence of what you're trying to do for them on your homepage. And you just solidified it for me right there. So, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, guys. So this is a great question and something I see a lot of writers when they're trying to do this stumble through, which is your homepage. Keep it to one core differentiator. So in Dale's example, it could be, you know, unlike so many other writers, I have real, practical, relevant experience in the medical field. I was a nurse, this type of nurse for so many years, which is, enables me to do X for you. Okay, so that is two things. That is, you pick the core differentiator in the so what, the why it matters, related to that one. Now, you have some other great stuff that you want to highlight that makes you different. That's fine. That's what your Why Me page is for.
Okay.
To list all of them and expand on all of them. So just keep that in mind. It's important to stick to one there on the homepage. Otherwise, it's going to get out of hand very quickly. You're not trying to sell the whole thing on the homepage. You're trying to get them interested enough to dig deeper into your site.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One other thing I wanted to mention related to the, yeah, but everyone else can say critical thinking. Again, not everyone else, because not everyone else can talk about the critical thinking that you developed as a nurse. But I don't know, I think it was in Scientific Advertising. Have you heard the story? And I know you're a student of the craft, Dale, that where I think it was Claude Hopkins, so it must have been Scientific Advertising.
Yeah.
He went to Schlitz. This is back in the 20s.
Yes.
And they were trying to differentiate themselves, right? You remember that story?
Yes, I do.
And he said, well, we got to find something different about you. So he went to visit the brewery, and he toured, and he asked a lot of questions. And they were explaining how they draw this water from these aquifers that were 1,000 feet deep. And this water was pristine. And they weren't thinking anything of it. He said, well, wait a minute, tell me that again. And they explained it again. He said, oh, my gosh, that is amazing. We need to highlight the heck out of that. That is your core differentiator. And he said, no, not everybody does this. And he said, yes, everybody might do it, but nobody's talking about it.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So he highlighted something, and sales took off. I mean, it just turned the company around. They were really struggling. And you've seen this dozens of times. Also in advertising, is companies that, yeah, they might be doing the same thing as others, but they're really you know, focusing on this one thing and highlighting the heck out of that. And you know, because they're the ones saying that, they become the obvious choice.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff, man.
Thank you.
Way to keep moving through it.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Absolutely. All right, so let me go back. I see a hand raised as well, but let me just going to go back and forth between questions that were submitted and then the phone. Erica posted a question. She says, I'm working on the Session 1 homework, and I'm running into a familiar problem, struggling with recognizing my own strengths and skills. Any tips on getting past that mental roadblock would be great. Recognizing my own strengths and skills. Erica, if you're on, I'd love to have a conversation with you about it, because this is the sort of thing, it's just hard to really address. I want to give you what's going to be the most helpful. And based on what you shared with me, I'm not sure where to start that. I mean, this is kind of, you've left it wide open. I'm not sure. I would want to know a little bit more about what you've uncovered, what you do have down on paper, and what you're struggling with. So just star two if you're on the call. Let me know, and be happy to talk through that with you. Eric also submitted a question yesterday. He said, hey, Ed, glad to be here. Hey, glad you're here. Eric, he says, I'm currently working through Module 2 and making decent progress. My question is, I haven't yet established a business entity. Would the easiest solution be to register a DBA with my town? Not asking for legal advice, just general guidance. Also, I don't have a website or a LinkedIn profile. Should I still go ahead and create a profile on LinkedIn now, or wait until after I have a website and register my business? Okay, so let's talk about a business entity. I can't really give advice on that for two reasons. First of all, I'm not qualified. I'm not a financial professional or a lawyer. And second, because every country, state, province, municipality is going to be different. You know, do you need to establish a DBA? Do you have to get a business license with your city, state, whatever? Do you have to, you know, what do you have to do? Everywhere is different, and I'm not sure where you are, Eric. So here's what I would say. My general advice with all this stuff is it's twofold. First, keep it simple. This business structure question and, you know, kind of falls into the category of logos, business name, business card, stationery. And I'm not saying this is Eric's challenge, but I see this a lot. And what happens with this category is it becomes a – it's really procrastination. Again, Eric, I'm not singling you out. I'm not saying that's the case here. But I'm mentioning it because it's a real issue out there. And I see people spend months trying to figure all this stuff out because they feel that that is more important and they can't move forward until all these things are set. I've gotten emails and I've talked to people who – have spent months working on their logo and their stationery or their legal name or how they're going to structure their business. And none of those things really matter. Nothing matters until you make a sale, okay? That's the general guiding principle here. So with that, again, that's not financial or legal advice, but that's really what should be driving you. All this stuff you can figure out as you go. The most important thing is that you move through the process and start taking action. Because, again, until you make a sale, until you land a client, none of this is going to really matter or be real. Here's what my accountant told me based on my situation. This is, you know, how many years ago? This is 13 years ago. And where I live and everything, he said, look, Ed, and I was already generating some client income. He said, keep doing what you're doing and stay as a self-proprietor. And so there's no reason to incorporate yet or anything like that. Once you reach $75,000 in income annually, then call me and we'll look at it and then we'll figure out what makes the most sense. And I did. So I just stayed, you know, business license with my city and filed as a self-proprietor, which means there's no legal paperwork involved. And, then once I hit 75K, I contacted them, and we, you know, based on my situation, I restructured my business based on what made sense. So what I would say is this for anybody here is check with a financial professional. You know, the best way to do this is ask around, ask your network. It's like, hey, do you know of a CPA locally? That's kind of the first question. And if you find someone, then you want to – if you get two or three names, you want to narrow it down to the one or two who works with a lot of small businesses and an individual people, self-employed individuals, because you want someone who really gets you. I used to have an accountant years ago that they did a lot of corporate returns and high net worth individuals, and they just came referred to me, and they took me on. But honestly, they were not a good fit. Especially at the time, I was not a high net worth individual. I wasn't a corporation, and I just wasn't important to them. They didn't understand my world or what I was trying to do. For the past 13 years, I've been with a firm here locally, and they 90% of their business is small businesses, and they got a ton of self-employed people. So they get me. It's great to work with them. And I'm very loyal to them, and they do my bookkeeping and everything. So many times with the CPAs, depending on the time of year, you can get a free consultation with them. If you present yourself as someone who's looking to partner up with an accountant, you're starting a business, and I like that word, partner. I'm looking for someone I can partner up with for the long term. And I would like to see if we can set up a quick either phone conversation or in person just to get to know each other so I can explain what I'm doing and see if we might be a good fit. And what I found is that most of them are very willing to do that, again, as long as you don't catch them during tax season. And then they'll be able to tell you and give you the right kind of advice, because whoever is going to be helping you with your taxes should be the person who should help you figure out how to structure your business, if that makes sense, right? You want someone who gave you the right advice that's going to make sense at the end of the year, instead of that being two different people. All right, so that's the first part of the question. The second part of Eric's question was, I don't have a website or a LinkedIn profile. Should I still go ahead and create a profile on LinkedIn now or wait until I have my website and register for my business? I would finish your website first, And then in sessions 2 and 3, I talk about LinkedIn as well, actually session 3, and then how to set up your profile. I don't go into the nitty-gritty because that changes all the time, but that's easy to find online, you know, just how to set up your LinkedIn account. It's actually very, very intuitive. But then what I cover in session 3 shows you how to make sure that you have the right copy there. And I'll give you a hint. Most of it is going to come from your website copy anyway. So you're killing two birds with one stone. You're able to just reuse and repurpose a lot of the copy that you've already created for your website. But do it one step at a time. That way you put all your focus on your website and then move on to your LinkedIn profile. All right, so there were a couple other questions there, but I'll come back to those. And let me see phones. We got a couple of raised hands. Let's see. This is Matthew. This is Matthew. Matthew, you're on.
Hey, good evening.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to welcome. Good to talk to you.
I hope everyone can understand my accent.
Yeah, I can definitely understand. You're getting there's some background noise and a little bit of static, but you're coming through better now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right, so I guess, as I said before in the Facebook group, because I just came on from, I think, day before, not yesterday, the day in front of that. So we have some different issues here in Barbados when it comes to doing work online, that's for sure. Everything is not as open in terms of the, you know, banking systems, different things like that, and everything is not as developed, unfortunately. But the questions I had wanted to ask was more in terms of the, because I'm doing the positioning right now, and before I came here, I was focusing on digital marketing as my niche for my freelance writing business, basically because of my experience in online marketing. I had started off by doing some affiliate marketing, and you know, with limited success, which is the issue that I have, because I'm only 25, so there's not that much experience to speak of in a lot of these different areas. There are not many areas that I do have experience in that I could say, well, you know, I can create a viable freelance writing business in. So I just wanted to find out from you, would it make sense to still continue with digital marketing, because it's one of the areas that I am more interested in, because besides that, the only experience that I would have been in terms of I currently work full time in the hospitality industry. I do.
Well, what industry? I'm sorry, I didn't get that, Matthew. What industry?
Sorry, in the hospitality industry. I'm working in. Okay. Yeah, I'm working in the hospitality industry, but I'm doing pool maintenance. I mean, so I do have quite some experience with pool maintenance, but I never really thought of it as a possible freelance writing niche until I did the positioning exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that I'm overly interested in doing pool maintenance or anything like that. But besides that, it would have been in the alternative health and wellness, because there was a period of time in my life where I was an alternative health junkie, and still am to a certain extent today. But besides that, it would have been affiliate marketing and online marketing.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, with very little experience. Sorry, go ahead.
So affiliate marketing, online marketing, with very little success. So you were doing this on your own though, right? Or were you working with somebody?
No, I was doing it on my own. I had signed up for on a platform called Wealthy Affiliate, and I spent some time there working through the course and whatnot.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. So the digital marketing, online marketing, affiliate marketing, like that, unless you have a track record there, that's going to be a bit of a tough go.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that those businesses are all about tangible results.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you can't get a start there, that somebody won't give you a shot. It just means it's going to be more difficult, more challenging.
Yeah.
So that's the positive is you have something there. You've learned a lot about that type of marketing, about the industry. The downside is it's going to be an uphill battle. Hospitality, you certainly, you know, that's a possibility. I've coached people who work in the hospitality industry. There's lots of possibilities there as a writer.
Oh, okay.
But your experience is a bit limited.
Yeah.
It's been more recent, you said, right?
Not necessarily more recent. I mean, I am working in the hospitality industry now, but I've worked there before, maybe let's say like 4 years ago. For about 2 years, I worked there in the hospitality industry.
Okay.
But it's still limited. It's still very limited, yeah.
I mean, that one, they're both limited, but that one,
yeah,
I think has more potential for you. Hotels, resorts, like there's lots there. So like web copy,
oh,
you know,
great.
For these properties, mm-hmm. and they're like lots of possibilities. I got a coaching client, coached her a couple years ago, and that's all she does. She writes web copy for several hotel and resort properties. Or companies,
okay.
And it's a lot of fun. But it, you know, it's like the kind of thing. Once you get in, it gets a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get in somewhere. You know, do you need somebody to give you a break? So I think that one's going to be a better bet than, you know, the online marketing, affiliate marketing, digital marketing.
Yeah.
Is just too broad. That's really more of a type of writing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, start with what you've got. I think that's the most promising out of everything. You're young, so you haven't had a ton of career experience. But, all right, so now it's just a matter of what do you have? And which one out of those, which one might be the better bet, even if it's not perfect.
Got you. So what do you think about in terms of the alternative health and wellness as well too, because I've spent a couple years working in that industry. I've done a ton of research while I was there as well too, and I'm still, you know, passionate in a sense about that industry as well.
Okay, well, so alternative health, it will only work if you have something beyond a passion, generally speaking. I shouldn't say it will only work, but generally speaking, if it's just a passion, that's not going to be good enough because anyone else can say that.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the only thing you had, I said, hey, well, let's just start there. You know,
okay.
I have worked with people who, hey, listen, it's a passion, but it's an applied passion. You know, I had cancer 5 years ago, and through a combination of traditional care and a lot of these things that I did on my own through a ton of research, I'm cancer free, and you know, like, so there was a personal experience there.
Yeah.
That could work, but it's still difficult. So you got to have something more than just a passion. You said you've worked in that industry before.
Yeah, I did. I did. For a few years, I did.
Okay. So, you know, that's another possibility.
Yeah.
It's very competitive there. I will tell you that there are a lot of writers who go after alternative health. So it's not going to be easy. It kind of falls. It's kind of like travel.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those that everyone wants to write about, but it's a bit harder to really get a footing.
I understand.
But yeah, I would keep it on the list. It sounds like maybe alternative health and hospitality might be your two best bets then.
So hospitality definitely sounds interesting. Definitely sounds interesting.
Yeah. Does that help give you some direction, something to think about and explore further?
Definitely does. I don't think I have any more questions at the moment, but that was definitely helpful.
Excellent. All right, Matthew. All right. Well, hey, great to have you. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. I got somebody else with their hand raised, and then I'll go to also questions they were submitted. This was, it says anonymous, so I don't really have a name, but if you raised your hand, it's probably you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this? Hello, who's this? Hold on, I lost you. I think you muted yourself. Let me bring you back.
Hello?
Okay, let's try this again. Hello.
Yeah, this is
Yes,
Francis.
I can hear you.
Yes, I mean, I'm calling to check the system. Like, if I want to ask you a question, what do I do? You know, I'm trying this interface here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, just you can ask away. What
yeah,
you got?
Just raise your hand, and then how do I unmute myself and all that?
Oh, I'll if you raise your hand, I'll unmute you. Yeah, so you're unmuted now.
Okay, so now I know what to do. I just wanted to test out this user interface. You know, if I need to ask a question.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, so if you're on the web call, meaning so you're listening to me and your computer, just hit the raise hand icon. If you're on a phone, *2 will raise your hand. Okay, so let's see. I think this is this Nanette?
Yes.
Hey.
Hello?
There you are.
Hi there.
How are you, Nanette?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Good. I'm crossing, going back and forth. No, I was just, when I wrote written about, I was trying to do my headline, and it was kind of like, well, who are you going to call? Ghostwriter, you know, it just.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, the ghostwriter thing. Yeah.
So, but then I was looking more at the examples you provided, and it seems like a lot of times they don't really say, hey, I'm a this type of writer. I'm this. Well, they don't label it such. It was just trying to play, I don't know, I guess that type of thing, kind of so much to say and not enough time to say it, and trying to get those things organized so that you wouldn't, trying to figure out who's going to be looking at your website and trolling through trying to find you was kind of the challenge. To make it appealing.
Yeah, I would say don't put too many constraints when you're writing. It should feel when you're writing your web copy, just pretend that because it's true, you're the only one looking at it right now. Okay, so try not to second guess yourself. Just follow the templates. That's why I have them there, because I know it's difficult. If you follow the templates, it's going to come out of you a lot easier. And then you can edit. So try not to edit as you go. Try not to second guess. Like, I don't know. Is it just write it, and then you can edit later.
Okay. And I can see. And for you, I watched the thing about LinkedIn, and it said, you know, just focus on potentially on your this aspect of your business. But as a ghostwriter, it would seem, and since I'm trying to put myself up as an expert, that not only would I potentially need a bio section, which I did not do with the website, because I figured that would just, it would probably put me into permanent pause, that I probably should keep some of the information I have on my LinkedIn page, because I have had it as a professor and things like that, that should, maybe by tweaking it, it would be more appropriate than for the ghostwriting if they want to see why I would be a legitimate expert.
Yeah, and you could do both. So on LinkedIn, your headline could be a combination of both. You know, you could be, if you wanted to call yourself a ghostwriter, or it could be a writer, you know, for executives who are trying to build, you know, authority. This is not necessarily the copy one of you. I'm just saying, like, this is the message.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then plus a, you know, professor of, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely have both. And then, because then that way they go hand in hand. You know, when that doesn't work is when they're not complementary. In your case, because that is the core essence of your positioning, that absolutely works, having both of those in your headline and in your profile description even.
Okay. Yeah. Because I need to change.
But yeah,
my
you don't have to use the word ghostwriter in the headline, in your homepage headline, by the way.
Okay.
A good format to use is I help, you know, this audience do this, create this.
Okay.
You know, that's a good starting one if you're having trouble. But notice even that one doesn't say I'm a ghostwriter for.
Mm-hmm.
These types of people, that could be in your body copy on
okay.
your homepage. Does that help?
It does help. Yes. Thank you. I just figured I'd touch base since I missed you when you said that I was here but not able to handle my technology.
Yeah. No worries. So really, so if I hear you correctly, it's just the ghostwriter. What was where you're getting stumped is if you should use that in the headline.
Right, it just seemed kind of awkward. I don't know. It just seemed potentially off-putting.
Yeah. Well, you use whatever feels, you know, natural to you, but it definitely does not have to be on there. Now, on your LinkedIn headline, I hate that term. I wish they said title, but they call it the headline in LinkedIn. You might want to use it there, just because many people will probably be searching for a ghostwriter. Many people in your audience, so you want to put that term in there, or at least
in the headline for the LinkedIn. Okay.
LinkedIn, yeah.
Okay.
Just as a keyword, like it doesn't. You don't need to weave it in. Like it could be a separate keyword. Have you seen these headlines? So many people will say something to the effect of, you know, writer for enterprise software companies, and then there's like a dividing line. You know, professor of blank.
Okay, that's a good point.
Ghostwriter.
Yeah. As a professor, I kind of got scared away from some of that because I was, like, trying to do writing things and academic-related, and it turns out it was students trying to get me to ghostwrite their papers for school, and I'm like, no, that's not where I'm going to go with this.
Yeah.
Ethically questionable for a professor to be writing papers for students.
Of course. Yeah, this is different.
Yes. Okay.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. Well, you bet. Yeah, my pleasure. All right, let's so again, star two, guys, if you have a question or want to talk through a challenge or an issue, or you can just type it in. Let's see. Let me go back to questions you guys have been submitting. Nikuru, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Nikuru. Please correct me. I mean, with a last name like Gandia, I've dealt with that all my life, so I'm very sensitive to it. Nikuru said, can you give some guidance as to how long different projects should take? For example, if a client asks how long it will take to deliver a landing page or a blog post or a case study or a white paper, I literally have no idea how long these should take. Yeah, totally. Believe me, you're not the only one with that question. Every project is different because every project takes, you know, has a range, and then every project is different in that it depends on the circumstances. You know, how much do they have in terms of background materials? How many people you'll have to interview? Those sorts of things, and then the internal factors for you and from the client that you have to take into account. For instance, not now, but once you get going, what does your backlog look like? You know, are you fully booked for the next 2 weeks? So then, well, how long will it take? You might be able to quote, well, 2 to 3 weeks, but right now I couldn't start it for another 2 weeks. However, here's what I would say, because I know you kind of want a straight answer. You can't go wrong with, first of all, you should never, let me backtrack. I always turn that question around on them and ask them, when do you have to have a first draft? When are you looking to have a draft of this? And the reason I say that is for a long, long time when I was starting out, I fell into this trap of quoting client deadlines for submitting the first draft without them even giving me any kind of timeline. I just said, okay, great. Well, listen, I can have a first draft for you by, you know, the 16th. And what I found was that in many of those cases, they were not in as big a hurry as I was. So I really put myself through some very challenging situations because I was quoting really fast turnarounds for no reason whatsoever, other than I just thought that, you know, clients wanted things turned around very, very quickly. And I just felt that it if I quoted too long a timeline, I was going to look like an amateur. And what I've discovered is that that's actually the opposite. You could look like an amateur if you say, well, I can have it to you in 2 days, for two reasons. First of all, that seems very quick to even work on one of these projects. Second reason is there's some – you may have to interview somebody. How are you possibly going to turn this around in 2 days if you haven't even – you know, don't even know what their schedule is like, the subject matter expert you have to interview. And third – you know, if you want to give the impression that, hey, you're a working professional, and if you're turning things around that quickly, maybe you don't have any clients, you know, so you don't want to give that impression necessarily. My colleagues, I mean, believe me, the most seasoned people, they don't quote some of these projects you mentioned, case studies, white papers, they don't quote turnarounds of less than, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. So you shouldn't necessarily do that either. However, when you ask the client, well, when are you looking to get, when would you like to have the first draft? When do you need it by? And if they say, well, listen, this is, we're kind of in a desperate need for this. So today is Thursday. Any chance you could have a draft on this blog post to us by next Wednesday? As long as you understand what it entails, then it's up to you if you want to go ahead and accept that. Okay, but you won't know until you understand, well, what do you have to do to get the information? Is it all on you? Have they already sent you the materials and so forth? So let's take these one at a time. A blog post, you know, that's usually, depending on the length, usually shorter turnaround, everything else being equal. A case study, that's usually a little bit longer, a couple of weeks, because you're going to have to interview their customer. You know, putting these stories together is not as straightforward as some people might think. So, yeah, that's going to be a little bit longer. A white paper, I used to quote 1 to 2 weeks for a long time, and that's insane. Looking back, I don't know what I was doing. I should have asked the client what they want. A white paper, at the minimum, should be 2 weeks. And these days, I quote at least 4. Okay, so Gordon Graham, the white paper guy, yeah, he's probably the most experienced white paper writer out there, at least as a freelancer, and he quotes 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, the more complex, the longer it is, the longer you should quote. And give yourself that time. Give yourself that margin. And, if the client needs it sooner, then it's up to you. But that's how you learn, too. You accept these deadlines, and then you realize what you can and cannot do. All right, and then her second question, she says, my chosen niche is B2B service providers, consulting firms, and agencies. Does that sound too broad? Do I need to niche down further? For instance, training firms. I fear that's too niched. I chose this area because there was no industry that I felt I had enough interest in or experience in to claim is my expertise, and I wanted to work with service companies rather than products. All right, so B2B service providers, consulting firms, and agencies. I would say, I think that's the, going back to level 1, 2, 3. That is, I would say that's about right. So that's on the upper end of the middle level of level two, meaning that it's bordering on being too broad, but I think you're fine. I think that's a good starting place. So as long as that's tied to experience you already have and a background you already have, I think it's fine. Service providers, consulting firms, and agencies. And, I think that's fine. It's, again, it's bordering on being too broad, but you will niche down from there, okay? So I would go for it. If that's where you've arrived based on the session one exercise, I think it's absolutely fine. One quick thing I wanted to mention, guys, is website review. So whenever you're ready for me to take a look at your website copy, we have a thread inside the Facebook forum specifically for that. All I ask is that you please read through the instructions there before you post your copy or your website for me to review it, okay? Very, very important. Everyone gets one review. So you want to make sure that it's to a point where it's look, it's never going to be perfect, okay? So don't try to work on this until it feels perfect, because it never will. But that it's to a point where you feel, you know what, this is, I need to move on. I need to get this to Ed, okay? So just make sure to read through those instructions first before you post it. But I'm happy to give you that review whenever you're ready. Okay, and let's see. We got a question from Monique. She says, hi, Ed, as far as being asked for a sample that I haven't done, in addition to the options you gave on the call, what about agreeing to write a partial sample? Not the complete project, but maybe just enough to show that I can do the project. You know, at this point of the game, you can absolutely offer that. If you feel that, you know, this would be a good opportunity for you and you're trying to mitigate the risk, and you're sensing that, you know, they're not feeling very comfortable, that they need to have that sample. You know, I talked about it a little bit earlier with Colleen about, well, offer to do a pilot project, which, by the way, is a term that I adopted and I like using in these situations. Like, I'll tell the person, you know, hey, Susan, what if we did a small pilot project? That way you can test me out, we can get a better feel for each other and see if we really are a good fit. I would love the opportunity to do that and just show you that I would do an amazing job for you. So I like to offer that as a pilot project, but if you're still sensing some hesitation, then I think that is a fine alternative. You know, what if I write a partial sample for you? So let's take one element of the project. Or let's take something really small, something else related to this, something else you might need that's really small, and I will offer to write it in for free, and just to see, show you what I can do. And that way you don't have to take a chance on me just yet. You can look at this first. That is especially a good option if, based on the gut readiness checklist, you were kind of borderline between pro bono and charging for your work right out of the gate. So for those of you who've been through that session, depending on how you scored, if it was a little bit on the pro bono side or borderline or definitely square in that area, then that would be absolutely something that I would consider an offer. This is the time to be scrappy. This is the time to be resourceful and creative, guys. Not going to change later. You should always be creative and resourceful, but nothing wrong with that. You're trying to get some traction. Again, momentum is the name of the game. Baby steps, and we're trying to get some traction. We're trying to get momentum because that's what's going to keep you going. So, yeah, great idea. Matthew asked, regarding the hospitality writing, should I position it as a hospitality blog writer or article writer or copywriter? It depends on what kind of work you want to do. I would leave it as open as possible, Matthew. Don't get too specific there, and let's see where you get some traction. So in that case, I would say writer and copywriter, and then another sentence could talk about the types of projects you work on. You know, I help companies in the hospitality industry write blog posts, you know, write web copy and something else, for instance. So then you give that as an example, the illustration. Okay, we have time for one more question. I don't see any hands raised, but I wanted to do one last call. Star 2, if you want to raise your hand, or if you want to just type it in. And while I'm waiting, let's do this. Let's go around the room. And I'd love for you to type in the chat box your biggest takeaway from today's conversation. What was your biggest takeaway? I'm curious to know. Biggest takeaway. Just type it into the chat area there on the call page. Oh, cool. Susan said her biggest takeaway, the term pilot project. Oh, cool. Man, I'm glad I slipped that in there at the end. Great. And, of course, you saw the application. Matthew said traction, focusing on small wins. Super. Biggest takeaway. Colleen says sometimes you have to let a client go. Yes, and the pilot project idea. Cool. Yeah, that's a big one. You know, not every prospect is and every opportunity is closable. So focus on the ones that that are closable. Nanette, flexibility of headlines and keep moving. Yes. Nikuru, biggest takeaway was from answer you gave someone about highlighting your differentiator. Also the fact that businesses that want a freelancer actually want a freelancer, not an agency. Oh, nice. Andrea says, how to manage clients who ask for a sample of your work. Absolutely. I'm glad that came up because that will come up, guys. And I don't want you to feel nervous. I mean, I think it's a natural instinct, right, and a reaction. But I don't want you to feel like, oh, my gosh, you know, that's the end of the line right there. Like, I'm doomed. When they ask for that, there are steps you can take. I'm glad that was helpful. Jenny says, write your website from first-person perspective. Yes, absolutely. Make it personable. Somebody's got to feel like you're speaking to them, like a human is speaking to them, not some corporate entity. Cindy said the Google search helping her with more clarity. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, right, digging deeper into financial services and what the potential sectors would be. By the way, Cindy, while I'm thinking about it, I've had Don Sadler on my show a couple of times already, and I want to give you his website so you can look him up because he is a financial services copywriter, and he does very, very well. And hold on, just bear with me. I'm looking up his website. In fact, let me do this, Cindy. I'll give you the episode number so you can listen to the interview I did, and then there the link to his website is there, and you can. But I asked him about the financial services industry as a writer. BtoBlauncher.com/episode48. So it's episode 48 of my podcast. Check it out. It's a great conversation we had a couple years ago, and you kind of get a. He talks about some of the projects he works on. I think that's going to give you some other ideas too. Jenny already found it. Yeah, DonSadlerWriter.com. So, yeah. Oh, good work there, Jenny. Wow. all right. One last question. Top action item for you over the next couple of weeks. What is your top action item? I want you to have that front and center because, again, this is all about keeping that momentum. Top action item. By the way, guys, I don't know if you see it, but on each of these call pages, I have a PDF that I encourage you, strongly encourage you to download and print and have ready with you during these calls to take notes. I find that this, I mean, it really helps me when I do it, when I'm going through courses and conversations and coaching calls, to have one sheet that I can use to take notes on because it allows me, there's a place there for your notes and ideas, then another place for takeaways, action items, and potential obstacles. It allows you to really come out of each of these calls with some analysis, some great notes, and some actionable next steps. And that's a lot better than putting them in a notebook or sticky notes or anything like that, and that way you have it all in one page. So take advantage of that. So again, top action item, please type it into the chat box, top action item for the next week. Your top action item. Don't be shy. Hey, Tina, I just saw that you're here. Elaine, Nanette, Andrea, I'd love to hear from you. Cindy, top action item. All right, Corey says for him, it's get new web copy onto my existing writer site and submit it for review. Fantastic. Jenny says her top action item is finish my positioning statement. It's probably going to take up a couple of weeks. Absolutely. Yeah, this is takes time to really let that stuff marinate. Andrea says sending out more warm emails. Fantastic. Colleen says keep finding contacts to send warm emails to. Potential obstacle, running out of companies to target. Oh, no way. No way, Colleen. There's so many companies in the water wastewater industry. Again, you know, I would encourage you to do what I suggested for Cindy. Some Google searches. We'll start drumming up some possibilities. LinkedIn. If you're not a LinkedIn Premium member, I strongly encourage that you become one. Sales Navigator has some amazing. And LinkedIn, that the Sales Navigator level has some amazing search capabilities. And if you just start typing in, you know, water industry, wastewater, you'll start coming up with all kinds of possibilities, more prospects than you'll ever have time to contact. Susan says, I'm just out of the gates, but I've already been struggling with my differentiator. All right, so that's your top action item, Susan. Is making sure that you focus on that and see what comes out. And let me know where I can help you, either in the next call or, of course, in the forum. I'm happy to walk you through that. But let me know what you have. You know, give me something that I can work with, and I'll be happy to give you some feedback. Nanette, top action item, fine-tune website for review. Cindy, top action item, completing sessions 1 and 2. Matthew, complete my positioning task and making small wins. Awesome. Good stuff, guys. So keep it up. Make sure you always have at least one action item for the week. Okay, start your Mondays off by asking yourself, what am I going to do in this program from a training standpoint and from an execution standpoint? In other words, putting the training into action. I don't want you to be the kind of person who just takes notes and listens to training sessions. This stuff is not going to work unless you deploy this material. So always have those items in front of you at all times. You know, what do I need to do this week to get closer to my goal of landing one paying client? So that's it for today, guys. We will we're off next week, 4th of July holiday, Canada Day. For those of us in North America, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Let's see, our next call is Thursday the 12th, same time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Of course, we'll send reminders, but let's continue the conversation in the Facebook forum. I'm there to help and support you, so let me know how I can do that. You guys have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk soon.